This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things being done by him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We're going to begin on this Sabbath day just with some breath. There are studies that show, and something that I like to practice is when you take 3 deep breaths, it actually resets your nervous system in your body. So we're going to do that now. I'm going to give you some time. I will just do it with you. 3 deep breaths. Here we go. Holy God, thank you for a space to breathe, to live, to settle in, to be your community. God, we pray today for the bodies that are crippled, that are hurting, that are overworked, that are tired, that you would bring healing in a place like this and in your name. Holy Spirit, we pray for the minds that are racing through thoughts, that are overwhelmed with anxiety and running through worst-case scenarios all the time. We pray you would bring some peace. And Lord, we pray for the hearts in this room, the ones on our mind that are filled with hatred and fear, that have been hardened by this world, that you would soften us up, that you would bring some grace and some love and some mercy into our Sabbath. Amen. I'm going to do my best today to not trample on the Sabbath, but delight in it, as our passage from Isaiah talks about, that we don't do this a lot in our regular out there world. We live in a world that focuses on a hustle culture, working and doing and being more than we can maybe even sustain sometimes. So we get to come to a place like this to settle into a Sabbath. And I'm going to talk about Sabbath. I'm going to talk about Jesus in the story about the woman that he heals in the synagogue and the criticism that he gets from the synagogue leader. But today, Jesus prioritizes people over the law. So the first thing that I noticed in this story that we read is that Jesus sees the need. The woman who has been crippled for 18 years and is suffering, has suffered an adult life at that point, 18 years, she's not standing up, crying out, reaching out, trying to get Jesus' attention. He's the one who notices her. He's up preaching, teaching, looking at a crowd of people focused on a different task, and she's trying her best to blend in a place where she probably doesn't fit in. She's maybe trying to hide behind other people. She can't stand up straight, so this woman is cowering over, trying not to draw any attention to herself. She just wanted to listen to Jesus in the synagogue. And he's the one who sees her. She's not like the bleeding woman who we see in a different story about Jesus, who just tries to reach up and touch any part of Jesus' clothes to receive some power and some healing from him. But Jesus still sees her, calls to her, approaches her first, because Jesus notices and he cares. Jesus drops what he's doing at the moment. He's, you know, standing in front of a crowd. His attention pivots fully to this woman in need. And this is where we see relationship important to Jesus. That even though he's busy, he's doing something, he has the attention of more people than just this one woman, he decides that she is more important in this moment. And that care and attention that Jesus offers her, he offers to us as well. Now, yeah, the leader of the synagogue has invited this guest speaker. He's now the event coordinator of this whole thing, and things are going awry. This guest speaker is coming in, going rogue. He's supposed to be up preaching to the people, and he's entered the crowd to go heal this woman. And he's just rocking the boat a little bit too much. This event coordinator, synagogue leader, knows that Jesus knows all the things about the scriptures. He's got these people who follow him. And the synagogue leader has an idea of where he wants that to be, what he wants that to do for the people in the synagogue. So he's like, get back up there and teach, Jesus. This is why we invited you here. But Jesus demonstrates instead that these expectations from the synagogue don't hold him back. That in the spirit of the law, Jesus brings freedom. I don't think Jesus is saying that the Ten Commandments, like keep the Sabbath holy, our fourth commandment, I don't think he's saying that they're bad or we need to let them go or whatever. I think Jesus is saying that those can be expanded. That we don't need to disregard people for the purpose of the law. For the purpose of the commandments. Jesus is saying that we can be set free from the bondage of that Sabbath day. And the rulers of the temple, the synagogue, want to do the opposite. They don't want freedom for this. They want to condense the law into who can we keep on the inside and who can we keep on the outside. Who can we keep away from an invitation to this free life? How can we judge other people's worthiness and belonging and use some tools in our scriptures to do that? And Jesus calls them out. In verse 15, Jesus says the Lord responds to them. So we're referring to Jesus now as having rule over these synagogue leaders too, having some power over them in this passage. And he says, you hypocrites. Again, this is like the fourth week in a row that Jesus has called them hypocrites. We're really cracking down on this. And Jesus is saying, this might not be a perfect following of the law, but you're not doing it either. You untie your ox and your donkey to let them have some water and feed them. And we can heal people on the Sabbath. I was wondering in this passage, if it wasn't a Sabbath day, what would the synagogue leader find about this woman who's been crippled or about Jesus to restrict her from this place, from this freedom, from this healing? From being a part of this community, how would they try to keep her on the outside? From being worthy of Jesus' attention, what would they say about her? Would it be something like, she doesn't have the right papers to be here. She didn't give enough money to the church. She doesn't have her husband here. We don't see him in the story. Would they question, hey, what did you do to have this spirit that crippled you for 18 years? How would they go about this in different ways to keep her on the outside? But Jesus doesn't ask any of these questions. Because the kingdom of God invites where the law restricts. Jesus' love is wider and deeper than even death. And so he invites us into that life also. And Jesus brings a new commandment into his ministry that he talks about, a commandment of love. Love your God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. Jesus says, I came to fulfill the law, not abolish it. And Jesus changes our perspective of multiple groups in this story. The first one is the establishment, the synagogue, how things work just like they should. Week after week, a teaching after teaching, the people know what to do, they have their routines, the leaders know how to read the scriptures and go about this. And Jesus rocks the boat on that. Jesus switches it up, says we can adapt to the needs in our space and pay attention to those even when it shakes things up a little bit. Jesus moves the crowds into actions. At the end of this, the crowds are rejoicing, and they're ready to go on and be moved by how Jesus is teaching, to go out those doors and be Jesus in the world. What if we were those crowds? What we hear here, the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, if we take those into our perspective out in the world, in our communities, in our homes, with our friends, with strangers in our lives. Jesus changes our perspective on Jesus himself, how he sees with openness, how he's not, he doesn't have boundaries up around him, but he's going out into the crowds to see where something is needed. And he changes this perspective of this woman. He calls her a beloved child of Abraham. He invites her into the family, into the child, into the kingdom of God, the family of Abraham. Something she's probably never been called in her life. I'm sure there have been much meaner names said about her. Because Jesus is one who talks about freedom. He means freedom for all. For the woman crippled and cowering that no one wants to draw attention to the broken and the scared and the ones who shouldn't be here. Because if Jesus loves them, he invites us into that also. So may we rejoice like the crowds at Jesus' words, and may his life and ministry be an invitation to us for new love in the world, for healing and seeing and freeing the ones in need. Amen.